السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also sisters listening at the madrasa and over the receivers, when I recited this ayat, some of you must have thought that there is a nikah that is going to take place, because we listened to this ayat in the khutbah of nikah. Well, there are many, many brothers who are in search of compatible, pious, righteous partners, and many sisters who are in search of compatible, pious husbands. But unfortunately, we don't have anyone tonight. Nevertheless, the purpose of this majlis tonight is that one of our brothers who was present at one of the nikahs — it is my habit that on a Jumu'ah day, if there is a nikah, then I try my best to speak something on this beautiful institution of nikah. So he asked for a copy, or he asked me to write down that Hadith Sharif which I had explained in one of those nikah bayans. So the audience is very different on the Jumu'ah day. There are many brothers who are in town or in different places who are now present here. So it so happened that whilst cleaning up some files, I found the Hadith Sharif, which was written to be given to this brother, but I did not meet him after that in Jumu'ah occasion. So probably at that time when he heard that bayan, he wanted to go and convey some message to his wife, because it happens that when you discuss something, if it suits the husband, then he will go and relate that part of it to the wife. And if it suits the wife, then she will relate that part which is suitable to relate to the husband. The husbands are reading the ahadith that the wives should read, and the wives are reading those ahadith, those sayings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regard to rights, which the husband should read. The husbands, the wife is reading, the wives, the husband is reading. As I mentioned in one of the bayans, that about the only Hadith Sharif with regards to nikah which most husbands know, is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if I had to order anyone to make sajda to anyone, then I would have told the women folk to make sajda to their husbands. That's about the only Hadith Sharif they know. All the other things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, they don't know about. In the same way, the wives also know certain ahadiths very well. They can quote you chapter, verse, everything, or certain ayat of the Quran Sharif. So it came to mind that if discuss this Hadith Sharif in this Monday night majlis. Now those people who are not married, or those people who are married for a long, long time, or those whose wives have passed away, or whose husbands have passed away, they will say, how will it benefit us? So I don't know how it's going to benefit you. You listen to the bayan, and at the end of it come to conclusion whether it benefited you or not. I am not responsible for that. That everything said must benefit everyone. We can be sometimes discussing a mas'ala on zakat. Now there is a very poor person in the audience. Now he will say that this masla of zakat, of how much to give if you have the nisab, how does it benefit me? So we will say it does benefit. It benefits in the way that the person listens to it with muhabbat, that it is the saying of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or it's a teaching of the Quran Sharif, it's a teaching of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that what is zakat, on how much wealth do you give zakat, to whom do you give zakat. So now if the person listens to it with azmat and muhabbat, it will benefit him. Because whatever discussion takes place of deen, there's noor in it. If the person speaking is sincere and the listener is also sincere, so then there will be noor from both sides. And that is what affects whether the person is eligible or to receive or liable to give zakat or not. But if they're listening to it with azmat, then they will benefit. So in the same way, this Hadith Sharif which I'm going to relate now, if you listen to it with azmat, then even those people who are not married, it will benefit them. Those who are married, where they lost their wives, lost their sadaqah, wives lost their husbands, or for some other reason it's not applicable, it will benefit them too. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every saying of his, it's an ocean. There was nothing but noor in whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Because the Quran Sharif was the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which was exactly in the words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was wahi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, exactly in his words, kalam, kalamullah is. Then we have the hadith Qudsi, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam relates a hadith Sharif, and he attributes it to Allah ta'ala, in the words of Allah ta'ala, to make it simple for laymen like us. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah ta'ala says. So now that becomes hadith Qudsi. And the other ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are his sayings, but even there it is an inspiration that he receives from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. So the meaning of which is the same thing. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not say anything out of his own whim and fancy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not say anything that he feels like saying. It is wahi. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conveys it in his words. The message is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The words are of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whichever way we look at it, there's nothing but benefit in listening to it, whether it's applicable or not. In our lifetime, or in our lives at present. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith sharif is reported by Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala an. But before we go to that, ND187211, Toyota Conquest, remove your car, 187211. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith sharif is reported by Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala an. And he said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ زَوْجَةٍ صَالِحَةٍ. After taqwa, after khawf and fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after having attained righteousness and piety, now that is applicable to everybody. That taqwa is not some ayat of the Quran Sharif that we only recite in the month of Ramadan. And we say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prescribed fasting upon the believers just as He prescribed on those before them, so that they may become muttaqi, so that they may develop taqwa, so that they may have this khawf and khashiyat and taqwa in them. Now that is one of the benefits of fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that fasting, one of the benefits is, or the reason why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prescribed, is so that we may develop that God consciousness, that taqwa in our lives. But then that was not only for the month of Ramadan that the person develops that taqwa. And after Ramadan then he gives chutti to taqwa. just as we say in every work, the people who are working in factories, in business houses, in industries, and students at schools and colleges and universities and Darul Ulooms and Madaris and Makatib, all of them require some kind of holiday and some kind of leave after having worked very hard for a number of days. So therefore this mu'min and Muslim worked very hard in the month of Ramadan. So now chutti for that taqwa. The holiday now. So that was not the objective. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the first thing, in other words, the explanation of this is that the first thing, because we don't have the time to explain on a Jummah day, the first thing is that the person must have taqwa in his life. After he has attained and achieved and gained and developed and nourished or nurtured taqwa, then all these things will apply. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ زَوْجَةٍ صَالِحًا. No person, no mu'min, and here it refers to mu'min who is a kamil mu'min. Not mu'min like us, that if we make one, two namazes, we are perfect mu'mins. We give a little bit of zakat, sadaqat, we are perfect mu'mins. We're talking about true Islam, true iman, if a person has. So this mu'min, this Muslim, after taqwa in his life, he hasn't attained or achieved or had anything better than a pious and righteous wife. Ba'da taqwa Allah min zawjati. Ba'da taqwa Allah khayran lahu min zawjatin salihah. If the person has got taqwa, and then he's got this zawja who is saliha, who is righteous and pious. And who can be righteous and pious? Can a girl or can a woman or can a wife who does not have the knowledge of even the basics of Islam, he doesn't even have the knowledge of the salat, how it is to be performed, what is to be read, she doesn't know her dua al-qunut, doesn't know her tashahud. She never had the opportunity because from the time that she grew up, the only thing that she was exposed to was secular education. We must not look at our small samples around here that we got Muslim schools where they teach some kind of diniyat and we got our madaris and makatib and darul ulum. South Africa is a unique place. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed the South Africans with such ni'mats and bounties that we, even if we have to make shukr all our lives, we cannot do enough shukr. Go out, travel out, and then see what you are faced with. What kind of questions people are asking, and what is the level of their understanding of Islam and Iman, and the essentials of Deen. Basic things about Islam and Iman are unknown. They are uttering statements of kufr and shirk left, right and center, and they are not even aware that what are the consequences of those statements. Travel out, then you will see what you are faced with. Then that time we will appreciate the programs that we have, whether it is of tabligh and dawah or madaris or khanqahs or masajid, all that what we have here in South Africa. Go to the remote areas, even in our country, and go outside. And especially to the poorer countries. Go there and then see what kind of situations. That one incident I just can't forget, and I've mentioned it so many times. You pick up the tapes, you will listen to it. That in a remote village in Bangladesh, a remote village, some 60, 70 kilometers or 100 kilometers out from there, on an extremely hot day we went there. And there was one alim, one small little masjid there which was built recently, and a small maktab. And they were trying to give those people around there some skills so that they can earn some livelihood. So the Imam Sahib of that masjid, one Maulana, he says that when I came here, the jahalat and the ignorance was of a level unimaginable. So much so that nobody really knows what is namaz. Namaz also was not known. And when one janaza took place, first janaza that he attended, he says he had to give some ghusl, being the imam there now of that small masjid that was established. So when he went there, then after the ghusl, then he said they asked for a saw. And he said, what are you going to do with this saw? He said, going to saw his left hand out. Chop his left hand out. He said, why must you do that? Mayyat, how can you do a thing like that, take his left hand out? He said, no, isn't it true that on Qiyamah day, those who are sinners and those who are kuffar, mushrikeen, Yahud, Nasara, or the evil ones, then they will get the book of deeds in the left hand, and the good people will get it in the right hand. So we rather take the left hand out from here, from now, so that he doesn't have a left hand there to receive that book. Now it may be humorous to us, but this is the reality. So like that, there are so many. I mean, this is just one example, but I'm talking about remote areas where people didn't even know what is namaz. Another true incident, that a person got married in one of the villages where they didn't know what was namaz. They know that namaz is farz, or probably they heard about it. But how to perform that namaz, they had not even seen. That was not the time of radio, television, and where people all watching now, how many millions of people making namaz in Baitullah Sharif. Those remote villages, they had nothing, no connection with the outside world. The only thing, they did some farming, some cooking, baking, and they ate. So one person got married. So when he went there to fetch his wife on that wedding day, so there he said he wants musalla to make namaz. He got married after that, now he asked for musalla to make namaz. So when he was going in ruku, when he was going in sajda, so the mother-in-law, the elderly lady, was also observing. So she asked, beta, ye kya ho raha hai? Pet mein kuch dard hai? Why are you rolling in pain, sometime bending, sometime down, sometime up? Are you got serious stomach problem or what is it? He said, no, this is namaz. So what is namaz? I get to explain what is namaz. Otherwise she thought there is getting stomachy. So first taqwa, and who is going, I was discussing how can a woman who does not have even the basic knowledge of deen and sharia, Quran and sunnah, have taqwa in her life? The same with the husband, that if he does not have the basic knowledge of the Quran and sunnah with regards to marriage, how can he have taqwa in his life? And with regards to other issues also, his namaz, his roza, zakat, hajj. The rights of the wife or the rights of the husband, how can the person know it? If the person hasn't studied or hasn't read the books or hasn't listened to some talks on it. So, ba'da taqwa Allah. The first thing is taqwa. And I've mentioned in other bayans also, that in the Quran Sharif, if you have to look at it and look at all the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, nowhere, any place in the Quran Sharif or Hadith Sharif does it say that the adoption of some means is a guarantee that you will achieve your objective. We all say it's a world of means, indeed it is a world of means. Who says it's not a world of means? It is Darul Asbab, it is a world of means, we have to make use of means. If a person wants to go from here to Jeddah, wants to go Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, so we'll have to make use of the means. He'll have to buy a ticket, he'll take a passport, take visas, then go to the airport, catch some flight from here to Johannesburg, or from there again another flight. He can't just sit here and say, well, look, I've got so much of yaqeen and so much of tawakkul that I'm not going to make use of any means. It's a world of means. He'll have to make use of means. But nowhere does it say that if you are going to make use of any particular mean, then you will attain your objective. Eating food is a means. If eating food, it's a means of satiating one's hunger. Person is hungry, he's going to eat. To quench the thirst, it's a means that you drink something. But there's no guarantee that if you have to drink that water or if you have to eat that food, then your objective will be achieved. Marriage, husband-wife relationship, it's a means of attainment of child. Person wants a child, so they get married. But this is not a guarantee, otherwise people will be married for many, many years and they don't have children. Business is a means of earning livelihood. But how many people opened the businesses and those businesses failed, collapsed? What little they had, that also got dragged away. How many people, when they had a little bit of money, they said, let's get into some venture. Let's make some investment. Now they took that money and went into some investment. So in that investment, even the last pair of vest went to. That vest which they had, even that went. So it's not a guarantee that if you're going to go in that direction, you will get your, attain your goal. That is again in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. But taqwa is one of those things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself guarantees. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. These are the two issues we discuss at length in the month of Ramadan. But it's for all year round. The person who will develop taqwa, piety, God consciousness, stays away from haram. That is the essence of taqwa. Then he stays away from haram and he fulfills the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with regards to namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, rights of people, inheritance matters and everything else. Whatever is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he fulfills. Then Allah Ta'ala guarantees. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for this person in his problems. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say problems won't come. Allah Ta'ala is the one who sends the tests and trials. So therefore he doesn't say that if you are going to have taqwa, then no difficulty or hardship you will face at all in your life. He doesn't say that. Who could have had more taqwa than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who could have more taqwa than the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, the Awliya, the Mashayikh, our great Buzrugan Adeem. But look at the type of tests and trials that came upon. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that no test will come. But what Allah Ta'ala says is He will find a way out for that person in that difficulty, in that hardship, in that pain, in that suffering. Allah Ta'ala will create such kind of asbab and such kind of condition that this person, even there, he will sense, he will have a kind of a feeling that my Allah is with me. He will have sukoon in his heart. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out. That example, how many times you have heard now, that the exam knife, if he sees that the student is stumped, he can't get going, ask him, what's wrong? He says, no, the paper is very difficult. So if the examiner says, right now, put your hand into my hand. I set this paper. So you put your hand into my hand and I will write down the answers to these questions. When he is going to write the answers, will there be any difficulty after that? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is setting the papers. The test is coming from Allah Ta'ala. So all we have to do is make rujoo ila Allah. Allah Ta'ala will then take the person out through those valleys. Allah Ta'ala will find an exit for him, khuruj for him, the way out for him in his difficulties, in his hardship, in his pain and suffering. And Allah Ta'ala sends those difficulties and hardships to show to the people that these are my anbiya, alayhimu salatu wasalam, that look at them. In the most severest of all trials, but there is no question of them wavering when it comes to their iman and yaqeen. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajmain, look at them, what kind of tests came upon them. They were beaten, tortured, persecuted. Everything they had to leave behind in Makkah Sharif, but no wavering, no shake up in their iman and faith. Allah Ta'ala wants to show, these are my bandas. These are my bandas, my slaves, my servants. How we say, this is mine, this is mine, this is my child, my child. Like that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, this is my servant. If you have to go in that direction again, you won't be discussing this hadith sharif, which is my intention. So the main thing is that the taqwa, and the second promise that Allah Ta'ala has made in that ayat is that also provision of risk and sustenance. And just give you the meaning of that. That another major problem of the time is risk and sustenance. Now Allah Ta'ala Himself, He promises in the Quran Sharif that on taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will provide from sources unknown to this person. Allah Ta'ala will send it from His ghaibi sources. That person will not even imagine way that it could have come from these sources. So there again, the provider of the risk and sustenance is Allah Ta'ala. And He is guaranteeing that. So what should we do then if we have difficulty with regards to livelihood and sustenance? Trust in this ayat, apply ourselves, commit ourselves, but don't develop taqwa just so that we get risk and sustenance. That is our weakness. That whenever we listen to some virtue of some ayat, then straight away we do it for no other reason except worldly reason. That why we want to develop taqwa so that we get plenty of food and plenty of clothing and get a good home and a good car. Now is that the purpose of taqwa? We must make amal for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we are His bandas, we are His slaves, we are His servants, we have got no right to question Allah ta'ala that why did you order us to do this or do that. And then if we are true servants and true slaves and we got true love for Allah ta'ala, then we are not going to ask and question that how long must I love my Allah? Must I love my Allah only in good times or even in hardships and difficulties? And as a true lover, ask questions like that. Whatever comes, whether it is sweet or sour, the person accepts it. So his love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be such that he doesn't question that, Ya Allah, why upon me this difficulty? Why upon me this hardship and test and trial? He loves Allah ta'ala. So he says, it's coming from my Allah. But when can he say that when he's got some kind of taqwa in his heart, when he's developed that? The fish of the sea does never says that I'm now sick and tired of the deep waters of the ocean. I would like to be on dry land, remaining deep down in this cold Atlantic waters. I'm catching a cold. The fish doesn't complain. The enjoyment of the fish is deep down in the water. Whether there's storms there or there's huge waves there or huge sharks that it has to swim through and avoid getting trapped, whatever it is. But the enjoyment of the fish is deep down in those waters. So like that, this mu'min and Muslim, he accepts whatever conditions come to him from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the first thing there is taqwa. So the person has got taqwa, and then he's got a wife who is pious and righteous, then it is the best thing that he has got. But then he describes, gives some kind of qualities and attributes of that wife who is Zawja Saliha, pious and righteous wife. Some of the qualities. In different places you have different qualities, but in this particular Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, In amaraha ata'atuh. That if this husband has to order her to do something, then she obeys him. Now in this time of fitnas, and especially when there's so much of talk about equality of sexes and liberation movements, where in reality they just want to liberate the woman so that their nafs can enjoy pleasure. That's all. What kind of liberation is that in which that woman is being made to work like a slave? What kind of liberation is it? Sharia made them queens of the houses and gave them so much of rights and put all the responsibility and obligation upon the husbands that you take care of these wives. If you got the money to marry, then you marry. If you haven't got, then don't marry. Keep fast. But don't marry and then say that I can't afford, so therefore now you must go to the marketplace and sell your haya and shame and modesty and work next to those people who afterwards like vultures will feed on you. And then that same husband will start crying. Then my wife is gone. So Sharia doesn't say that. But we understand that there are sometimes such conditions that befall a woman where she doesn't have any kind of option and choice but to go and work. So there we say, start off first with your own father's business and in some office at the back there where you do some labeling and packaging and invoicing. If that is not possible, then in the shop itself, then some mahram person. Thereafter, of course, you start off from your own home. Lots of home industries now. Woman can make a living through so many different sources from home. The achar and papad industry is quite big now. All the walimas, they require achar, papad. And the dal and rice business. There's so many other things you can do, knitting, baking, crocheting. So start off there. If that is not possible, then the next step, next step, next step. Finally, if there is no other way, then with hijab, she goes and in a desperate situation, what else must she do? Whereas it was the duty of the society then to take care of such a woman. It was the duty of the society to then take care of such a woman. But then the major part of our contributions and donations and charities are going in lavish buildings, air conditioning, high salaries, infrastructure, first class and business class travels. That is where major part of all the donations of the world is going. To the organizations people donate, and the major part goes to all those things. Big conferences, lavish feasting, and then those people who are supposed to be getting help and assistance, they get a little bit which is left over. That is the sad state of our nation, our society. So who do you blame for that? You don't blame Islam for that. Otherwise Islam said, take care of those widows, orphans, destitutes, poor and needy. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that in amaraha ata'at, that if he orders her something, then she obeys. Now this is again a subject on its own. That in what does she obey? In what matters she mustn't obey? But if you listen to the next part of it, وَإِن نَزَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتْهُ, when he looks at her, it pleases him. So now which woman is going to obey the husband? That woman is going to obey whose husband is also generous, is kind, is compassionate, is loving, is caring. He overlooks, he forgives. Outside with the friends, if he is smiling and talking cheerfully and having a nice party. So then within the house also, his akhlaq is such that the wife also looks forward to his obedience. When he comes in the house, his akhlaq is such that if he says something, she considers that as an honor. She wants to do that which he says. He must just make ishara that he desires to eat something, and she's not going to read out one whole kitab what are her rights. If he says that today I desire to eat chicken or mutton or fish, so she's not going to take out a book of rights and say, where is it written in the kitab that it's the duty of the wife to cook and feed the husband? She's not going to do that if the husband himself is going by the book of ihsan. I always say, go by the book of ihsan, not by the book of rights. If the husband is going to take out the book of rights and the wife is going to take out the book of rights, then they may, both of them, end up on the wrong side. Because both are going to start fighting now. There will be a fight. Although that is the correct thing to do. That fulfill the rights of the wife must fulfill the rights of the husband. So now this husband who wants the wife to be obedient, so then he himself has to be such that she becomes obedient. And the wife is going to be sometimes out of her love for the husband saying things which may cause some kind of pain and hurt. But look at the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. The wife said certain things which if we have to say, it will be kufr. But Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, look at some of the times that out of love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she said certain things. She said, I know. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I know when you are angry with me and when you are happy. When you are happy with me, then you will take qasam in the name of Allah ta'ala. Rabbi Ibrahim. When you are happy with me, then you will take qasam in the name of Allah ta'ala, the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you are unhappy, then you will take the qasam in the name of the Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And other things also. So there will be sometimes certain things that they will say. But that is where we have to display our quality of being rijal. We are men. Tolerance at such a time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, in amaraha ato'atuhu. وَإِن نَزَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتُ. So it is the duty of the wife that she within the home also she must dress up in such a way that is she is attractive to the husband. How is she going to please him? If he walks into the house and every time that he walks in he only smells onions and garlic. So she must finish her onions and garlic work long before the husband comes into the house. And then again sometimes they make islah of ours. They are there to make our islah. Because in the masjid everybody will make, shake hands and house everything and talk nicely and cheerfully and outside also our friends, everybody. So the islah they make in the home. They make the best islah. They bring about a balance. Some of their malfuzat must be recorded. One person was having a lot of problem with his wife. And he said, I lose myself, I get angry and I get... I said, you don't have to get angry. When she starts blurting out something, then just say, Malfuz number 25. Then when she says, what do you think I am? Then say, Malfuz number 26. Then again she gets more angry, say, Malfuz number 99. So finish. So he went home and he did that. And believe me, he says our problems are over. The moment I say malfuz, she starts laughing. The moment I say malfuz number, she starts laughing. All her anger is gone. I tell the wife also, you do the same thing. When the husband is also talking nonsense, he's losing himself. Nothing. Don't reply. Don't respond. Just take one page and pen and put malfuz number for publication. Ah, Shariat gave us such beautiful teachings and that our homes can become Jannat on earth. But we like to make it Jahannam, hellfire. Something we seem to be like. Shouting, screaming, swearing, cursing, booting, kicking, and now people even taking out knives and pointing firearms. Now, is that the kind of relationship between husband and wife? The kind of pain that we get on our hearts when we read this type of letters. Even if that wife is wrong, but for a husband to take his gun out and put it under his pillow and say, you dare open your mouth and I'll shoot you. So now she sleeps in fear the whole night. Is that husband and wife relationship? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, in amaraha ata'atuhu, wa in nazara ilayha sarratuhu, wa in aqsama alayha abarratuhu. If the husband has to say, take a qasam and say that, look, for example, that today you are going to do this. Please, for my sake, do this or do that. And I'm taking qasam and I have trust that you're going to do it. Now that's again out of muhabbat. But provided what he's saying is permissible, is halal, it is jais. So out of muhabbat the husband saying that. Otherwise can anybody say that? It's only if you have a true friend, a genuine friend, a sincere friend, then you can say that, look, I got trust that you will do this for me. So like that, now if she has said that, then she tries to fulfill that qasam of it. For example, a woman does not want to go and visit the in-laws. The in-laws are saying, come join us today for meals or something. Now she is not in the mood of going. Now the husband is feeling very, very down and out because he says, if she's not going to come, then the thing, why hasn't she come? Must be a problem. Now at such a time, the husband is saying, look, I'm taking qasam that you will come today. So now fulfill his qasam. Go away that day. Swallow your pride. But all these things will happen, as I said, when the husbands themselves give the wives good treatment. Just to conclude it, وَإِنْ غَابَ أَنْهَا نَسَحَتْهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِهِ. When the husband has to go away somewhere, I'll give you an explanation. If the husband has to go away somewhere, he's gone to China, Japan, Hong Kong, somewhere he's gone shopping or buying or for import purposes, whatever he's gone for. So then at that time, she is very, very cautious and very careful with regards to herself and the property of that husband. She doesn't make any kind of khiyanat in that. She doesn't do any kind of injustice. She doesn't betray the trust that the husband has in her, that while he is absent on some business, then she will stay chaste. She is not going to engage or indulge in any kind of adultery or any other haram. And at the same time, she is not going to siphon away his wealth and property and pass it on while she is absent, because he left her in charge. So things have disappeared and she says that somebody stole it. Whatever it is. But the trust that he places and goes, so then she doesn't betray that trust. Now here again, the same thing. That just as this husband wants his wife not to betray that trust, when he is going out, then he wants the wife to be honest and truthful and loyal and trustworthy, and he gives a long list of nasihat and goes. Then what about him when he is out, where he thinks that nobody is now watching? Look at the number of cases that we are dealing with, where husbands have gone for business reasons, and then they got involved with prostitutes that side, escort agencies, massage parlors, and so many other things, for watching all the filth that side. They have spent their money on so much of haram entertainment and pleasure. And when they come back, if they get some kind of indication that the wife was not very trustworthy or she was engaging in something that was not very healthy, so they will come down like a ton of bricks on that wife. But they don't realize that it is a reflection of their own doings. One Allah wala, he said that whenever I disobeyed my Allah, of course he didn't even commit sin, because they don't commit sins. Just in some etiquette, some other, somewhere along the line, if they find some deficiency, he says, whenever I found that deficiency, then immediately I saw the effect in the horse of mine, that it also didn't give me a decent ride and it wants to throw me out. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. نظر ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. Whatever we are facing in the homes of disobedience and rebellion, it is because of our rebellion and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. We look into our own lives, we'll find there's so much of rebellion, so much of disobedience of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and a reflection of that we are finding in our lives, that our lives are becoming miserable. We are demanding obedience, we are demanding obedience, but we are going wrong somewhere. Of course, for some people it is a test and a trial. For the majority of us is no test and trial. It is an azab from Allah Ta'ala for our disobedience. Azab from Allah Ta'ala for our disobedience of Allah. Obey Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and see how your lives become wonderful, peaceful, happy one. Within the home also it will be like Jannah. There will be some ups and downs here and there, but the person will not have any kind of real argument and fight, and where he wants to divorce the wife or the wife wants to get out of the marriage. It won't be like that if we fulfill the rights. So although this bayan we started off, I told you that it may be not applicable. Inshallah, if you go deep into it, you'll find that it's applicable for everybody. Who doesn't need taqwa? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Overlook our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our faults, our sins. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, parents and children. Unite the hearts of the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Make our homes jannat on earth, my beloved Allah. Give us sukoon in our lives. Give us tranquility, serenity, joy and happiness in our lives. Ya Allah, bless all marriages with barakat, with rahmat. Unite the hearts of the husbands and wives. Put mawaddat and rahmat between them. My beloved Allah, remove all the quarrels and disunity and arguments and fights. We have made our home Jahannam on earth because of our disobedience, my beloved Allah, you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hamara banja, hame apna bana. Hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wa izin. Zillat wa ruswai se hamari kefazat wa Allah. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our family. The time of departure is definitely going to come. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut. Rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Tujh pe ek din khaak dali jayegi. Our soul is going to be extracted from every limb and every part of our body someday. Don't let that happen in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, popping drugs in our mouth, committing adultery or fornication or any kind of haram action. Jab marne ka waqt aaye to Madina Sharif hume pahunchate. Let our death and burial be in Madina Sharif. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہو وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گوبو کفن. یا اللہ, if it is not مقدر and destined, wherever it may be, let it be in a stage that you are pleased with us. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspiration that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, sicknesses, the diseases, the weakness, the tests and the trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you at this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove the difficulties, pain, problem and suffering. Remove the problems of the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Let the winds of hidayat go throughout the continents. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.